just the one weakness that I have. I try to associate, and it just don't work with me for some reason. I can't understand why. But I've been with pastors, folks, been a Bible cop, and leave, and next week I can't even tell you the pastor's name that I was with. Now that's terrible. Well, that's been my weakness. But you give me a number, I'll never forget you. I associate people with numbers. Now, names, I know, but I'll give you a number, though. Once I got that number, I'll never forget you then. It stays with me all the time. And that's why that's peculiar. I know I'm peculiar, but that's just the way I am. And I was that way in the business world, too. When I was pastor in Macon, Georgia in 1950, I had 1,800 members in my church. But I knew the Social Security, I knew the house number of every member of my church and the phone number of every member of my church. And I can give it to you even now, and it's been 26 years since I've been a pastor. But I still remember, I was not too long ago in Texas meeting. A fellow came up to me and said, you know, you don't know me, but I know you. He said, my dad was a deacon in your church, the Second Baptist Church in Macon, back in 1950. I said, what was his name? He said, A.B. Brandon. I said, yeah, he lived at 645 Elm Street. And your number was 766-5432 was your phone number. He said, that's right. I still remembered it. Then stay with me. And the church where my membership is now, and I'm only there a couple of times a year. I can tell you just about almost every member of that church, their phone number. I just put it right in the phone. And when I was the American Zinc Company, well, God called me to preach. We had 1,800 employees. I knew the Social Security number of every person in that plant. And this is why I can't tell you. This is just the way I do. When I go down the street, automobile get in front of me, I automatically add up the license plate numbers. This morning, Brother Lee picked me up, and he was talking, and we were talking, yet I was adding up license plate numbers all in front of me, all the way down. And I just do that. That's just part of my life, that's all. It's been that way. You see, math is a universal language. And that's, I guess, the only thing that is universal language. And I believe God put the Bible in numbers. In the last days that we could reveal to the whole world the truthfulness of God's holy word. Because numbers, you don't take and think over them like you do with words. 2 times 2 is 4, you don't get 8 out of it, 10. And it's true in any language, the same meaning. And the Bible is a book of numbers. 1 out of every 5 scriptures in your Bible has a number in it. Now, the Bible is God's Word, and if the words are always inspired of God, so are the numbers then. And those numbers have a definite meaning, and if God gave it to us, and we can find in the numbers a meaning. And you see, you're not a name in this generation. Every one of you is a number in a computer today. And the government operates this way. They have you listed under Social Security number. Armed forces to go under Social Security number now. Even when you go to school now, Social Security number. And you'll find you have house numbers, payroll numbers, license plate numbers, insurance policy numbers, zip code numbers, area code numbers. Did you ever sit down some time and write out all the numbers that you live by that you have to know and have? You'd be amazed. Now, folks, you see, this is an age of numeric sense. And if the Bible has so many numbers, it doesn't have a meaning in it. And any time you come to numbers in the Bible, if you read the meaning of the number, it would tell you what the scripture is talking about. Now, I got into this study many years ago when I was teaching the book of Revelation. I know number 7 was the key number all through the book of Revelation. Number 12 was found in the book of Revelation. I said, I wonder what those numbers mean. So I began to try to find some books on it. I found Dr. M.R. DeHaan, who I believe is one of the great Bible teachers of our day. And I was with Dr. Hunt just before he went to be with the Lord. Had dinner with him one day, and we got talking about numbers. And he said he knew that numbers had a definite meaning, but he had never put a study on it to find out all the numbers and what they meant. So, well, then I found a book called F.W. Grant, and Numeric Bible, but I couldn't find all the numbers. He mentioned some of them, but not all of them. Then a fellow named Bullinger, Dr. Bullinger, wrote a book in 1895 in Numerics of the Bible, Numbers of the Bible. But he didn't give all of them. And he lost his mind. He went to seed on it. And then Ivan Panin, a Russian, but I guess one of the greatest men that ever lived on the numbers of the Bible. And he lost his mind. And you may think I have too before finished. But that's all they talked about. And If that's all you talk about, you go see them anything. You have to balance your life in your studies, not just take one thing. And I got thinking, well, how come all the numbers don't have a meaning? Why is it only some of them have and not all? Why is it all these other men that there had only been about half a dozen men that we could find anywhere in history that ever got into numbers? That, when I say that, I mean for the last 500 years. There just isn't anything on it. I said, then how come it is that some numbers have meaning and not all of them? And does all numbers have meaning? If it is, what is the meaning? Why hasn't somebody found it? And I checked the Library of Congress. I checked the Library of Atlanta, Georgia. I checked everywhere I could. I couldn't find anything on it. I wrote letters to Alexander, Egypt, to the museum there, Cairo, Egypt Museum. I wrote a letter to Vatican City. Even Papa couldn't help me. And Athens, I just checked everywhere I could, every lead I could get, and I couldn't find anywhere where I could get all numbers. The oldest I've ever found was Babylonians and Mesopotamia. And they go back to those times. They had some tables they found, the illumination of Baal, they call it, was found, and in that they had some numbers. And the old Babylonians, and they had the illumination of Baal, some tablets that was found just a few years ago, they found in that it talked about a tower, the Tower of Babel. And that tower was several stories high, but made up for numbers. On top of it was 12 signs of the zodiac, and was all used for numbers. Now, I thought, well, wonder what all the numbers mean. So I did it the hard way. I took number one, mentioned 1,898 times in the Bible. And I typed out every time it was mentioned. It took me about 5.5 months to do that. Then when I found all that, I said, now what is the meaning that fits to all 1,898 times? So there would be no contradiction. What is the meaning that would fit into all of it? It took a long time to get it. But when I had the right answer, it was no conflict, and I knew I had the truth then. That's why it took me 11.5 years to write that book back on the table, The Merits of the Bible. And I could write another book today, thicker than that one, without repeating myself. The material was revealed after I wrote that book. So I know there's something to it. And there's some numbers I still, and there's some things yet in the numbers I've never gotten into. And nobody ever has, I'm sure. And a man could put a whole lifetime in the study, and it could really be a blessing to mankind if he could ever do it. And there is something to it. Now let me just give you some rules of the Bible study numbers. One thing is to study your Bible the first time a thing is mentioned. That is the answer to the other time it's mentioned. So when you find something, for instance, when Paul writes something, you'll find that every time in Paul's writing, if the one thing he mentions will have the same meaning all the way through it. It doesn't change. And the first time a thing is mentioned, that's your key. The first time the word rainbow mentioned your Bible is in Genesis 8. After the flood, God gave the bowl in the sky, symbol of his mercy from judgment of water. Then every time you find the rainbow mentioned in your Bible after that, it means mercy from judgment, you see. Have the same meaning to it. Just follow right on through. When you want to know something, go back and read the first time it's mentioned. And then if you have a concordance, just follow that all the way through the Bible, that word. See what it means. When you get to the end of it, you've got the meaning then. You won't have any trouble with it. The Bible answers itself. Another thing, when you study numbers, this is fascinating. See, most of you, the Bible is a dull book. Half the names you can't even pronounce. And many times you don't know what it's talking about either. But you read it. And some of you don't even read it. Some of you boys and girls never open your Bible. You never study. First thing you do, you turn on that boob tube when you get home. Don't read your Bible. But so I'm back 16.5 hours of television is watched in the home every week. I guarantee you there's not 16.5 hours a week put in Bible study at home. And see, folks, we're balanced in our life. And if you're going to put that much time, you want to put that much time in your Bible studies. But most people don't, because the Bible's a dull book. But when you start counting it, it becomes exciting. Now, I guarantee you, when we leave this morning, some of you, most of you are going to start counting. You take your Bible, you open the Bible, start counting, you're going to get something out of it too. Now, another thing is to study your Bible. Now this is amazing. Why this happens, I don't know. It's just the Lord did it, that's all. Man wouldn't have thought of doing it this way. But you take your Bible, and you go through it, and you'll find every chapter of your Bible, and the 1,189 chapters. If you go home today, and try it, put it to the test, that's the best way to do it. And you take a chapter, for instance, if you take, say, for instance, the 10th chapter of Genesis. All right, you go home, number 10 means testimony. All right, then you look in that chapter for a testimony for the Lord, and you'll find it's there. 20 means redemption. So every 20 chapter in your Bible will talk about redemption. See? 5 means grace. So every 5th chapter of your Bible will show God's grace. See? 3 is divine. Every 3rd chapter of the Bible shows something divine. Now that's amazing. And if you say, I don't believe it all, why don't you check on it yourself? Go home today and check on it. See if it doesn't work that way. And it's the most amazing thing I've ever found in my life. And whatever the number of that chapter is, the meaning of that number is going to reveal the meaning in that chapter somewhere. Go have it. For instance, my pastor, Brother Hardiman, some time ago preached a sermon, 45 minutes of sermon, on Acts the 8th chapter. Now, you know anything about Acts the 8th chapter? A man named Philip went over and preached to a eunuch. The eunuch got saved. And there was Simon the sorcerer tried to hinder him from the gospel going to him. I can give that to you in 30 seconds. The pastor took 45 minutes to preach. It's the 8th chapter. 8 means new beginning. There's going to be a good new beginning take place in this chapter. Philip, the name Philip is mentioned 14 times. 14 means deliverance. He's the one who went and got deliverance. The word eunuch is mentioned 5 times in that chapter. 5 means grace. He's the one that got the grace. Simon, the name is Simon Sorcerer, he's mentioned 4 times. 4 means the world. He's the worldly one. He tried to hinder God. See? And there's 8 chapter of Acts. So simple. See? And so many times, so this is the way, and it's exciting to sit down, start counting that thing through, and this is what blesses my heart. Because every time I count, it reveals the truth of that. And they don't conflict. It always comes out. Another thing you'll find, when you go through a chapter, look at the names in it. The proper names. Or it says, why are you taking Daniel now? Why don't you take the first 5 chapters and count the word Nebuchadnezzar? See how many times the word Nebuchadnezzar is mentioned. And the meaning of that number tell you about Nebuchadnezzar. I've met one, see? That's amazing. And every time you go through the Bible, you take a chapter, count the proper names in it. Meaning of that number, but tell you what it's talking about, that person. Another thing is, when you go through your Bible, you take a person's name and go through the books of the Bible. And it works that way, even. For instance, the 4th time Noah's name is mentioned in Genesis, 6th chapter. But number 4 means what? The world. So God said to Noah, he's going to destroy the world. The 5th time Noah's name is mentioned, Genesis 6, 2. And what does it say? Noah found grace. That's of God. That's 5. The 5 means grace. See? The whole Bible. 5th time Abraham's name is mentioned, Genesis. Noah said, Abraham found grace. That's of God. The 5th time Ruth's name is mentioned, Ruth 2, 2. What it said? Ruth found grace. And Boaz. See? Now that's no accident, folks. That's just no coincidence. That's the Lord that does things that way. And for instance, you take the name David. Now David is mentioned in 21 books of the Bible. His name. Now here are writers, 40 different writers of the Bible, that over 1,500 years wrote, inspired of the Holy Spirit of God. And many of them didn't know what the other fellow wrote about. And they all, 21 of those writers, talked about a man named David. And they wrote his name, inspired of the Spirit of God. Then you take all the 20 writers put together, not one knowing what the other wrote. And the name David is mentioned 858 times in those 21 books. And yet you take David, the name David, divided by 7, and divided divisible by 7. That means complete. That's no accident. How could man have planned it that way? But you know what the other fellow wrote, how many times he used it. Or you take the name Moses, meant 1,368 times in the Bible. And here's a man that mentioned about 28 different writers in the Bible. And what do? Put all the books together, and then count it up, it's divisible for 7. Just don't happen this way. There's no coincidence. God had to be the author of this to do it this way. And so it puts a stamp on it that is not the mind of men, it's the mind of God. And the same thing is through your creation. God's the creator of all things. And he made all creation in a certain way. Why is it you have 5 layers of atmosphere around this earth? Why not 6 layers? Or 4? 5 is grace. God put his grace around this earth. See? And salvation is there, here. And you'll find the same thing. There's no accident. When you study the universe, there's a pattern and a plan for everything. You take all your elements, the atomic weights of all your elements that we have. Everywhere there's a certain pattern. And you'll find that those who have an even number, those in an odd number, whether it's a positive or negative charge, and operates under different laws of God. Numbers play in that. You'll find everything in life is made up of three parts. Three is divine. God's the creator of all things. Little Adam is three parts. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Sun is life, heat, and rays. Time is past, present, and future. Just go on and on and on. Okay? That's no accident. There's a pattern in life. And God operates under a definite plan, program. The Bible said, they tell us the stars by the names and by the numbers. He numbered all the stars. The Bible said the hairs of your head are numbered. Some places, some people don't have much trouble counting them. But he got them all numbered, you see. So there is a pattern, there is a number. God operates by numbers. He's a great mathematician. And when you apply that to his word, listen, it'll bless your life. And the amazing thing about the numbers are that they always glorify the Lord. They always lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that glorifies the Lord, folks, I'm for it. Now, if they didn't bring glory to the Lord, and brother, it brought confusion to the word, I wouldn't want it then. I stay away from it. And that leads me to say, I found this in all the versions of the Bible on the market today, all the paraphrases, the King James Version is the only version I found where the numbers do not conflict or contradict. And the others, it won't work that way. I've taken the good news from out of man, and brother, the numbers won't even fit in anywhere. And that's why, for instance, you take the word blood. There are many versions that took the blood out of it. Well, every time you find the blood mentioned, you'll find God's grace. And if blood's not mentioned, then grace won't operate. And if there's a conflict come, and just like the Church of Christ, that believes baptism is essential to salvation. Well, you'll never find baptism anywhere in the New Testament mentioned fifth in order of anything. Every time you find baptism, it lists of four things. Always four. Not three, not five, always four. Four means of the world. It's not divine three or five, or there's no grace in it. So baptism gives you no grace. It's for the world, you say, the testimony of the world. And therefore, and Church of Christ has pretty hard to argue against that with the numbers. That's why I don't have any trouble arguing with them, because that's one thing gets them. They know how to answer that. And once you learn how to do it, folks, it'll bless your life. Now you'll find the whole Bible is made up of seven. We have what we call numeric value. Now you find the Hebrew language, the Greek language, they use the number to be a letter. Now we don't do that in our English language. We have A, B, C, X, Y, Z, 26 letters, and then we have also numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, and they're separate from our alphabet. Now that's not true in the other languages, many of them. Well, you take the Roman numerals. What do you have? What is B? That's 5. What is the letter? X is 10. All right, C is 100. D is 500. M is 1,000. You see? Numeric value. Now, if you didn't have the alphabet separate from the numbers, so what would A be then? A would be what we would be 1 then. B would be called 2. C would be 3. D would be 4. And with D here, 4, and E would be 5. So that'd be called numeric value. So if you want to find a word and put numeric value, take the word B, E, E. All right, B is 2, E is 5. The numeric value of D would be 255. The numeric value of the name of Jesus is 888. So you see, numeric value. And this is an amazing thing. If you take your Bible, like in the Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the English version, there are 10 words in that text. 10 words. 10 means testimony. There's testimony. God created it. God created heaven and earth. Now, in the Hebrew, you don't have the word the. That's understood. So you take the word the out in this three, the. And we take that out, there's 7. So there's 7 actual words there. And 7 means complete. That's a complete testimony. The way English or Hebrew, that will mean give you testimony. It gives you meaning to it. And there's a whole Bible this way. But you can take the Greek language, the Hebrew language, or take the English language, and both, it still comes out. It still honors the Lord. There won't be no conflict between those things, the numbers. Now, man couldn't have planned that. And so how did you get it? Gradual, over the years of study. One will lead to something else, something else leads to something else. And I haven't touched the hem of the garment yet. And there's so much more that I know is there, and I haven't gotten into it. Jerry Lucas wrote a book
couple years ago, called Theomatics of the Bible. Theo means God, matic means we get the word mathematics from. And but he goes into a different approach of it. Use the numbers, but they don't conflict, don't contradict. And he goes at a different approach altogether. And he found something else in numbers that I hadn't even found. And what I have, he didn't find. And you can go from on and on and on. And there's many other things I know we haven't touched. But the truth is there, folks. And I'm saying all that to say, numbers do not conflict. It's God. God inspired. God authored it. God breathed it. It's his message to people in the last days and the mathematical age, thus saith the Lord. Now, let's take some of the numbers this morning. We won't have time for all of them, because I could take and stand here and talk 1 hour on every number, and I know I can do it. Some of you like to tap and witness, get out some classes. We're not going to let you get out of any classes. We're going to let get you done, get back, because I know you want to get back to math anyway today. You want to get back to exactly that fact you can from your history. You just got to have it. And so we're going to let you have it. All right. Now, well, let's take some of the numbers and let you know there's something to it. And then, if just to give you, just to whet your appetite a little bit, that you'll do some of that after the service today. Now, number one, when you find number one in your Bible, the word one comes from the word single or unit. And we get the meaning from that, which is called unity or unit. And any time you find one, you see unity. You never see discord. You never see disharmony when you find one. It will be unity. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one book, one Christ, one salvation. Always a one. In John 17, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. No conflict between the Father and Son. And in 1 John 5:7, he said, there are three that the record have been divine, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, they three are one. See? You have unity with Godhead. All through the Bible, you see this oneness, this unity. Now, when you come, or in marriage, is what? Two becomes as one, the Lord said. And so that when you have a separation, now comes together into a unit, into a oneness. All right, now number two has a double meaning to it. A double meaning. When it refers to the things of the world, or the things of the flesh, you see a separation. There's going to be separation. The first day, God created heavens and earth. The second day, God divided the land from the water, from above, earth below. The second day was a day of separation, folks. And the same thing is true in our life today. Whenever you find you come to the blood of the Lamb of God, there comes in unity, and then what happens? Separation follows salvation. Always separation follows salvation. You're going to be different, you could say. You can't help yourself. You don't change, God changes you. If there is no separation, then I question salvation. And you're going to think differently, you're going to act differently, because when God changes you, he changes you. You want to, what you do. You didn't want to do before, now you want to do. What you used to do, now you don't want to do. There's something happened. You can't explain it outside the Lord. And you're going to be different. And if you still like to do the things you did before you got saved, and still be Jordan like you did before, then you had a false birth. There's something wrong somewhere. And more I study this Bible, and the older I get, the more and more I've come to the place to believe what God said was the fruit of salvation. And what I see, I believe there's many, many people that are really not saved. It doesn't add up. My Lord teaches one thing and people live in something else. It just don't add up, folks. Now, I know you can't be perfect, but that doesn't keep you from trying to be. See? And God didn't save us to take us to heaven. That's not the ultimate purpose of it. He didn't save you to keep you from going to hell. He saved you that you might conform to the image of his Son, created for his good pleasure. That's what the Bible said. All right, then. And folks, this is, and that's why we want to live for him and present our bodies as a sacrifice. And for there must be separation. But I'll tell you something else. When you finally refer to the things of the Lord, you'll find two shows a union. A union is involved. Where two becomes as one. Marriage is this way. You'll find the same thing in two parts of the Bible. The Old New Testament becomes what? The Word of God. You have the two tables still become the law of God. It'll always be that two becoming as one. But it's in the Lord. Now number three is a divine number. Divine. And that means God is in it. And any time you find three, God is in it. God's the creator of all things, so everything is made up of three parts. And God's in it. That's why the resurrection is spoken of the third day. God's in it, you see. That's divine, the resurrection. That says man can't do things. Only God can do that. Number four means the world. And the works of man. Anytime you find four, you find the world, or you find the works of man being manifested in the world. How many seasons for this whole world? Four, spring, summer, fall, winter. We have four phases of the moon for this whole planet. First, there are two. We have the new moon, full moon, first quarter, and last quarter. You have four tides, two high tides and two low tides, too, in the day. For this whole earth, you see. You have four directions, north, east, south, and west. You have four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What is that? They give you the earthly life of Jesus. He walked this earth. See? And Daniel talks about four beasts. He talks about four world governments. See? Exist upon this earth. You see, there's all the way through. Now, you want to do some counting? You got your Bible? Came to church, got the Bible. Remember, it's $20 fine today. Got his Bible? Let's do some counting. Let's take the one book of Bible, the simplest book for the child of God. When you get saved, you always start reading the Gospel of John. So take the Gospel of John, the first chapter. Let's look at the first two verses of it. Let's see the union of these two verses now. Now as you look at the first two verses of the Gospel of John, the first chapter, let's count. So let's count the word God. How many times is it mentioned? Three, right? So there's mentioned three times. What is three? Divine. God is divine. See? How they go arguing on that? Well, let's count the word word, W-O-R-D. How many times? Three times. So what? The word is divine too. Just as divine as God is divine. He is God. Let him and all the witnesses that he's not divine. Mention just as much. Now what does four mean? The world works. Or at the fourth time. That chapter word is mentioned. Is where? 14th verse. What does it say? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to the world. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. See? So the fourth time he's mentioned, he did what? He came to the world. What four means, doesn't it? That wasn't hard, was it? See what counting gives you then? And you can go through that first chapter of John and the 51 verses of it, you ought to count those words. Count all the nouns in that chapter. Count all the pronouns in that chapter. Count all the verbs. Now that does what? That helps you boys and girls to learn what to speak then. And when you end up, you'll find all of them are divisible by seven. See? Because we're talking about the perfect one. Number seven. So that all the nouns are divisible by seven. All the pronouns are divisible by seven. All the verbs are divisible by seven. All the adjectives are divisible by seven. Did you know that? Yeah. You go through and count yourself to see what it is. It's amazing. That's no accident. There's 14 names given that first chapter of Jesus. 14 means what? Deliverance. And divisible by seven, too. Complete numbers. The Gospel of John revealed Jesus as the Son of God. So when you study the Gospel of John, everything is done in sevens. The first seven miracles of Jesus' ministry is only in the Gospel of John. And seven times in John, Jesus said, I am. I'm the way. I'm the light. I'm the bread. They always do. Seven times he said, I am. Seven times John, he said, I will. I will come again. You see? I will not cast you out. Always do you find. Seven times John said, Jesus went to the mountain. Seven times John, the phrase meant the disciples went to the sea. In John, you'll find seven night scenes revealed. You get them with Nicodemus, give Jesus the night. You'll find the Gospel of John. Even the words are all divisible by seven. 21 chapters in John, seven. Now you have 20, you take the word light. It's mentioned 21 times in John, that's divisible seven. The word witness is mentioned 28 times in John, that's divisible seven. The word life is mentioned 35 times in John, divisible seven. The word Jude It mentioned Matthew, Mark, and Luke only 16 times. When God put John the word Jews mentioned 49 times. Given the book of 7. You'll find the word world is mentioned 77 times in John. That's the book of 7. The word seed is mentioned in John 105 times. That's the book of 7. The word believe is mentioned in John 119 times, which is the book of 7. Accident, huh? Coincidence? No. That's the Lord. The last chapter of John, the 21st chapter, Jesus meets with 7 disciples. Accident, huh? Everything in John is 7. You're taking John, the only perfect prayer in your Bible, is John 17, the prayer of Jesus. We pray the Father, which is the true Lord's prayer. You ever look at that prayer of Jesus in John 17? What does 17 mean? Victory. And in that 17th chapter, what do you find? You'll find 7 paragraphs in that prayer. You'll find there are 49 sentences in that prayer. You put 7. There are 490 words in that prayer, because we're 7. Count the letters in John 17. There's 2,079 letters in that chapter, the book of 7. And you look at the chapter, the 7 things Jesus is praying for. Accident, huh? Oh. And when you study John, you have to look for the 7s. The complete one. Now, if you call this an accident, the first writer of your Bible was Moses. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. And he used the number 7 more in those 5 books than any writer in the Old Testament. He revealed the complete God. The last writer of your Bible was John. He wrote also 5 books, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. And he used the number 7 more in those 5 books than all the writers, or any writer of the New Testament. Accident, huh? Oh. And you take your last book, your Bible, Revelation, made up of 7 sevens, which means completion of all things. You have 7 churches, you have 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 persecutors, 7 vows, 7 dews, 7 kings. 7 sevens. The only book of the Bible this way. Why? The last book shows the completion of all things. So that means that nothing else comes after that from God. Yet the complete word of God is Revelation. So anything after that is not God's word. So what came after that? The writings of Muhammad eliminated it, then even the Bible. Eliminated Jehovah's Witnesses writing. Eliminated Brigham Young's writing, the Table of Nephi, see? Joseph Smith. So you see, that's not a Lord's name. See, you begin to tear out all the false things right off. 7 sevens. Amazing, isn't it? We haven't even started. Well, number 5 means God's grace or God's goodness. And God fixed it so you can see His goodness every day. You're surrounded with His goodness. You can't get away from it. Because every time you put your shoes on, 5 toes wave at you. God's been good to you. Every time you go to wash your hands, 5 fingers will catch it. God's been good to you, but I've got 10 fingers, preacher, 10 testimony. I've got a testimony of God's grace. But I've got 10 toes, too. So that'd be 20 then. Well, 20 means redemption. I've got a testimony of God's grace for redemption. There's no conflict. 5 is grace. Remember when David took 5 smooth stones to go down facing the giant Goliath? Why 5? You thought he was going to miss, huh? No. God's grace is sufficient. If you read Samuel, there were 5 giants of the Philistines. 5. Goliath was just a leader. And when David killed Goliath, the other 4 giants fled. He had a stone for every one of them. He wasn't going to miss nobody. And God's grace was with him. You read 2 Samuel later on, the other 4 giants were killed too. God's grace. And you know, it's amazing, in every 5th chapter of your Bible shows God's grace and goodness. No accident. 5th chapter of Genesis, the thing right off, the 7th thing mentioned in the 5th chapter. All the way through the chapter, it says, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. But right in the midst of the 7th name, Enoch was caught up to God. See? Accident. Oh. Your 5th chapter of John, you've got the Gospel of John there. Turn to 5th chapter of John. Let's take the 5th chapter of John and look at it. And see if there's any
God, grace, goodness here in this chapter.
Now, what is five? God's goodness and grace. Well, let's see if there's anything mentioned around five around here.
This is the fifth chapter. All right, after this, there's a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now, there's Jerusalem by a sheep market, a pool, called Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having how many porches? Not six, not seven or two, but five porches. So in the fifth chapter, we got five porches. Now let's notice the third verse. Let's do some counting. There lay a great multitude of folks around this porch, these porches. First, called impotent folk. Second, blind. Third, halt. Fourth, withered, waiting for moving water. So how many classes are that? Four. What does four mean? The world. What's in that? All right. So you got four classes of people in the world then, haven't you? They don't have five, they're falling short of God's grace. So you got four classes of worldly people today. What's the first one? Impotent. What does that mean? It means you're not able. Now, when you Baptists here in Shady Grove, you don't have these folks in your church. I'm talking about Baptists in Utah. But I'm just not able to come to church. I'm not able to tithe, Pastor. I'm not able to teach. I'm not able to sing the choir. I'm just not able. You're worthy. You need the grace of God. See? Notice the next group? Blind. What's that? They can't see. They can't see what's wrong with sin. They can't see spiritual blessings. They go to a ball game and holler to the horse. They go to church, somebody says, Amen! And they say, you're holy roller. They just can't see what's going on. Some people, they just can't see stewardship. They just can't see it. They're blind. They need what? The grace of God. But notice the third group. They'll halt. That means crippled. A crippled person sitting down looks like anybody else. The deficiency shows up when they get up to walk. It's just easy to live for the Lord here in this building. You know that? These little Jesus in here. The test is when you go out that door. But so when does services begin? At the benediction. And lots of folks are crippled. Boy, they go to church on Sunday and you think they're so spiritual. But from Monday to Saturday, you find they were crippled. They'll walk. They must the way of the Lord. And what's that last group? Withered. That means dried up. I had prunes for breakfast. I like prunes. You know what a prune is? A dried up plum. Ever meet any prune faces in church? Dick Tracy used to have one. He faced all the time. We got new churches. You ought to sit in the choir up there. You see things. You see prune faces Sunday morning. People go to church and sit there. You think, brother, they've lost everything in life when they look at the faces Sunday morning. You ever know people's expressions Sunday morning? They're the same expressions you see when you go to funerals. And some of them sleep with their eyes open. Just set their bumper. They think because they never crack a smile, they have a long face that the sound of them is spiritual. But that's what makes spirituality, then donkeys are the most spiritual creatures on the earth. Just dried up, withered away. And meet them. Now notice what happened. They're waiting for the moving of the water. Now here's a man. And this man has got infirmity 38 years. The fifth verse. Now the subject called on the fifth verse then, the man. 38 years. Ever look up number 38 in a book? I don't have my book here, but you can go look it up. It means death. This man's got something wrong with him. He died, his body is paralyzed. And notice now the sixth verse, what happened? Jesus asked the man a question. How many words in the question? Will thou be made whole? Five words. So in the fifth chapter, with a porch of five porches, here is a man in the fifth verse, has an infirmity,
see. And Jesus asked him a question with five words in it. And then the man took up his bed and walked. See? Isn't that amazing? Grace took over. The man got up and walked. Good catch.
Accident, huh? And there's three fives mentioned. Three fives of 15 and 15 each piece.
That's what he got. The numbers all work put together. I can just go all day on that.
Well, let's go on though. Six. And there's so many other things I give you on this. For instance, when you find in your Bible the word grace, or find the word blood, like the book of Romans, Peter uses in his writing, the word blood. Now when you find the word blood, you'll see the grace of God being manifested too. You know that? Let me give you an example of that. Let's see. Peter. Let's take First Peter. That's a good example. I think Peter gives you a very good example of this. First Peter, the first chapter. You'll find the same thing in John 3:36 as five parts of that scripture of everlasting life. You'll find the word everlasting mentioned in the book of Isaiah, most anybody in the Old Testament, and it's divisible by five. Five is grace. Whenever you find everlasting, you take everlasting to the New Testament and add up all the time it's mentioned and find divisible by five. Five is grace. But in 1 Peter, the first chapter, I want you to notice now what it says. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout. Now let's notice how many countries mentioned. First, Pontius. Second, Galatia. Third, Cappadocia. Fourth, Asia. And Bithynia. Five was the comma. You have five countries, but you're not finished now. So let's go on and finish up. First, there's five doctrines mentioned now. The first doctrine is election. Second doctrine, foreknowledge of God the Father. Third, this is the third, means divine, sanctification of the Spirit. That's divine. Fourth, four means the world. It must be obedience. The world gives obedience. Fifth, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Next word, grace. Isn't that amazing? You'll find that time after time in the book of Romans. You'll find that in Paul's writings. And when you just go through like that and find the fives, then all wants the word grace to show up in the blood. Now when you take the good news for modern man, they substitute another word for the word blood. And the blood's not mentioned, so it won't work. See? It's God's word. God knows what he's doing. Well, I just get excited over this thing yet. Some of you look like me, like a sick cat. You know what's going on. Sick means weakness. Six means weakness. The weakest person you ever met, the person you saw in the mirror. Man was created in the 6 days. He's weak, he's fallen short of glory, separate. See? All the way through your Bible, you'll see six showing a weakness. There's no accident. You'll find when the devil speaks in the Bible, you see, the devil will never use 5 words, 10 words, 15 words, or 20 words in a sentence when he speaks in the Bible. 5 is grace, 10 is testimony, 15 is peace, 20 is redemption. Well, the devil can't give you anything like that. Well, he won't use those words. God won't let him. So when the devil speaks in your Bible, here's what you'll find in the sentences he'll use. 6 words, 13 words, 21 words, or 38 words. See? And when the devil uses, 6 means weakness, 13 means depraved, 21 means evil, 38 means dead. That's what he'll use. That means, well, you think I'm wrong? Remember old Job, the first chapter? And what did the devil say? 13. So read 2 Corinthians 6:9-10. You count the words, and you'll find there was exactly 13 sins of the depraved part of man. See? You take the 21, he's evil. So 2 Peter 3, Paul talks about to Timothy, the last days, there'll be evil times, perilous times. It goes on the list. How many sins is that in the last days? 21 sins he lists. 21 means evil. Accident, huh? Oh. You're going through your Bible. I put in the book of Numbers the first couple of chapters of it, the introduction, and you can notice it. You'll find in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming out from Adam. You'll find all the way through that Bible, those in the lineage
coming of the Messiah will be listed third or fifth in the Bible. What we do. It was Cain and Abel, but the third son, Seth, God raised up to be the line, too. And you'll find all through the Bible, you'll find it. Judah, fifth son. God keeps the lineage always in divine grace, chosen always through the Bible. Man would have planned it that way. The 33rd generation from Adam was David. David, 33, means great blessing. No accident.
Well, eight means new beginning. It means start over. What's the eighth note on that piano?
No, it's start over. And it just, you look at the piano, there's seven octaves on there. Seven is complete. So by Noah, the mountain was the eighth son. And God said to multiply.
Accident, huh?
Nine means the number of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. All right, nine gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave. You hear the power. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22, 23. On time, it's just nine listed. See? Ten means testimony. What is a tithe? A tenth of your possession. Your testimony. Preacher, I want to give my testimony. Do you tithe? No. Sit down. Your experience, yes. Testimony, you don't have one. The Ten Commandments, testimony of God's law. Remember the tenth plague in the land of Egypt? God said, take the blood. For the doorpost letter, that testimony. What was the 11th? It came around Egypt. When the Red Sea came over the Egyptians and they perished, judgment fell. So number 11 means judgment. It means judgment. And you'll find the book of Revelation, the word judge or judgment is mentioned exactly 11 times in the book of Revelation. No accident. Now just imagine how God put that book together. And 12 means administration, rulership, leadership. You got 12 disciples there, 12 spies. You see, that's the leadership. Well, 13 was that you pray. 14, I like number 14. This is one of my favorite numbers. I get excited. There's a man here in Shreveport. I don't know who he is. I've got this letter in the file, but I don't remember his name. About 2 years ago, I was with Brother Steph Martin of Calvary Baptist. This man came to service by teaching numbers one night. And he said he came because he liked math. And he said he didn't believe in the Bible. Once he was like, we'll save. And about 3 weeks after I got home, he wrote me that he had gotten saved. He said, I got the number 14 in your book. Got written about it. And I decided right then I need to save it. And I asked the Lord to save it, and I got saved. But he said, month by time, number will be that. Now, so number 14, but help me. I have another letter in my mail written by a man. I asked him to write this letter. He called me on the phone, asked him to put it in writing so I could have it in my file for verification. And it was a number of years ago, and my phone rang on Christmas Eve. About 11 o'clock. And a fellow says, you Ed Valo? I said, yes, sir. He said, I think you called you out at the Atlanta airport. I changed your plane, going to Virginia. And he said, I just came from Vietnam. And he said, if I ever got the letter, I'm going to call you and thank you for that book you wrote on numbers. He said, it led me to the Lord. I want to thank you for it. He said, I want to tell you, if you got time, sir, how I got saved. I said, yes, sir. I got plenty of time. He said, well, he said, I never believed in God. And I never believed in Bible churches. To me, they just, I'll get you money. And it was all man-made stuff. He said, I was over here in Vietnam. And he said, the battle was pretty heavy. He was out in the front. And he said, two buddies of mine was with me, and we had a little break. And so he was lying there in the weeds. And he said, I was smoking a cigarette, and my buddy pulled out of his coat a book and began to read. I said, hey, what did you read? He said, numbers of the Bible. I said, what do you mean? The fellow said, of all these numbers, we build the Bible with God's Word. But the fellow here had the Bible over. And he said, here, take a look at it. So he tossed it over to me. It's all once about to get a shoe ass. So I just took the book and stuck it into my pocket. And he said, during the fighting, my buddy was killed. said, that night, he said, we were back in our tent. He said, I couldn't sleep. He said, there, my buddy's bunk was empty. The cop that he slept in, and he said, I just couldn't sleep. He said, about 3 o'clock, I saw this book sticking out of my pocket. I got up out of the way. I just read it. He said, sir, I got to number 14. I got on my knees by the cop. He said, quiet. I said, I want to thank you for it. Now, number 14 hasn't done anything else but that. It's done the job. I have in my files considerably over 100 letters of people been saved reading the book of Numbers. It's taught in 4 colleges today as a textbook. God uses it. Alma Rome from Texas, the missionary in Nigeria, Africa, told me in a letter. She said, we were not baptized a person over here in our world now that hasn't read your book of Numbers. That's getting pretty bad. But you know it's going to do something to help us. That's why. Now, what is number 14? It means deliverance. Deliverance. Anytime you find 14, you'll find deliverance, folks. Let me give you an example of it. You got a Scofield Bible? Look at Genesis 14. Look at the heading on it. See what it says. What does it say? Abraham delivered Lot. Exodus 14, God delivered the people from wilderness. Leviticus 14, delivered from disease. The 14th book of your Bible is what? Chronicles. Look in the 14th chapter and said what? God delivered his people from the Philistines. Your 14th book of the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation, is Thessalonians. What's Thessalonians? The rapture book. God delivers. 14th chapter of John. I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Every 14th chapter of your Bible shows deliverance. Acts to death, huh? The 14th day of the month of Nisan was the Passover. What was that? God delivered his people from the land of Egypt. Paul was 14 days and nights in a storm in the Mediterranean, and what happened? God delivered them from the storm. Acts to death, huh? Amazing, isn't it? Let me show you something else. You can't even trick the Lord. You can't catch him. He'll get you anywhere you go. You can take your Bible backwards and get the same thing. Take Revelation, go back 14 books of Thessalonians. And you take the Old Testament and go backwards in it from Malachi. What is the 14th book? Ezekiel. Look in the 14th chapter of Ezekiel. But wait a minute, don't stop there. Look at the 14th verse in the 14th chapter. Well, let's don't stop there. Let's take the 14th verse and count the words. Look at the 14th word in that verse, in that chapter, in that book. Would you like to do it? Get it out and look at it. Ezekiel, the 14th book. Look at the 14th chapter, the 14th verse. Count the words and tell me the 14th word. Deliver. Isn't that exciting? You kind of glad, you smile. You do that. I think I would read that. Well, there. Now, don't close it up. You want the truth from that? When you get truth, you bubble up inside. Now, let's see what the truth is. In the 14th verse, you have how many names of men mentioned? Three names, right? What's the first name? Noah, second name. Daniel, third name. Job. Well, three names. What does three mean? Divine. So you got divine deliverance then. Here, huh? What do you mean deliverance? Be divine. Divine deliverance. Now, do you have divine deliverance? Let's see. What did God deliver Noah from? The world in the time of the flood. Right? What we learned from Daniel, the first chapter, is in from the flesh. The temptation. Well, by Job, old devil, got delivered from the devil, didn't he? And the three temptations of life is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God has shown divine power of deliverance in those three over the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Hard to believe. And yet it works every time. And you can't understand, but it's God. And when you get to it, it exalts the Lord and it bubbles over in your soul. And you just go on and on and on. And when you go through 14 like, there's always be deliverance. Let me show you another example of it. Turn to Matthew 1. Matthew 1 would give you an example there. There's so many places you can do this. Matthew. But you notice Matthew 1, you have genealogy. Notice the 17th verse. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. That's the first of 14. Number 1 means unity. So the people, there was unity from Abraham to David. Number 2 means separation. Let's look at the second 14 then. And from David to the carrying away into Babylon, separated from the land, the 14 generations. 3 is divine. Look at the third 14. And from Babylon unto Christ, the divine one, the 14 generations. Divine given the same. See? Simple, isn't it? Clear just like mud. When there are times gone, 15 means rest or peace. 16 is love. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, have a look there? There's 16 things to tell you what love is. Well, let's show how simple it is then. John 3:16. Number 3 is divine. 16 is love. So you have what? Divine love. Right. Have a look at 1 John 3:16. That's what? Divine love, again, manifested. Amazing, isn't it? Would you like to do some good Bible study sometimes to bless your life? Start in Genesis and go all the way to the Revelation. Look at all the third chapters and the 16 verses. And see what divine love you see all the way through. You want a Bible study to bless your life, that'll do it. I've done it. Boy, I tell you, I want to turn on somebody. 17 means victory. Jesus rose from the grave. The 17 days of month and night. And 14 days passed away. 3 days. And then what? 17, the old grave. Where was that victory? Paul said. 18 means bondage. 19 is faith. What's the faith chapter? Hebrew 11. Have a look at Hebrew 11. There's just 19 names listed of what's the faith. Every name is right in order with the meaning. First name is Abel. Here it is. Second name Cain. Here is brother's separation. Third name, Enoch, divine, part of the God. Fourth name, Noah, overcame the world. Fifth name, Abraham, walk by faith. Tenth name, Moses, testimony of the law. Right down the line. Well, 30 means the end, number of dedication. Number of blood, number 30. Dedicated. Have you ever news commentary? This is 30 for the new, the end of the old, begin something new. Dedicated new. That the high priest had to be 30 years of age to become a high priest. You know that? To qualify a priesthood, then you have to serve 3 Passovers, then you become the high priest. That's what Jesus did. He began his ministry 30 years of age to qualify for priesthood. Served through 3 Passovers. John said what? To become our high priest. No accident. The life of the land of Israel today. 1978, a child was born in 1948, reached the age of 30. He served for 3 years of Passover. In 1981, he qualified to be high priest. Or accident. 33 is the number I love. I like this number. There are no accidents in life. There's no luck to a Christian. I still can't get used to number 33. It works sometimes, it skips me. This number does. And if it didn't fit in so well, I'd say, well, you're just never making it fit. But you don't have to make it fit. It just automatically fits. And it fits all through life. You take the 33rd chapter of Genesis. Esau and Jacob got together. Great blessing. Jesus, 33 years of age when he died at the cross. Great blessing of mankind. Why you take out Thomas Edison gave you life when he was 33. Ford gave you automobile at 33. Thomas Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence when he was 33 years of age.
Harry S. Truman was the 33rd president when atomic energy was announced in the world. Accidental. Michelangelo was made painting when he was 33. Da Vinci worked for his works when he was 33. Shakespeare wrote Macbeth when he was 33. You take Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, and Bach wrote their great music when he was 33. Keats, Shelley, Browning wrote the great works of 33. Why, you take Washington Irving, his greatest writings were The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. He was 33. Accident, huh? Oh. You can go through practically every realm, sculptures, writers, painters, musicians. Alexander the Great conquered the world at 33. It's amazing how this number fits in. You don't think it works? You older folks today. When you were 33 years of age, something wonderful happened to you. You had a child saved, or born, you got saved, or well, something wonderful happened, new job. But remember, you were 33. Oh, accident. But then why? I was 33 years of age when my daughter Diane was born. Then she's been a blessing to us. She's the most spiritual of all the children. As a week goes by, Diane, you know what she did Labor Day? I'll tell you what kind of daughter I got. I'm proud of the daughter Diane. And the husband she got. They both teach Sunday school classes in the church at Calvary Baptist Winter Haven. They're tithers. They never miss a Tuesday going out winning souls to the Lord. Tuesday is soul winning night. We don't call it business days now. They call it soul winning night. And they go out. And every time she leaves a soul, she calls me and tells about who got saved. Now that I like a child like that. You know what happened on Labor Day? They came home. Came home on Friday. Saturday and Sunday and Monday home, and then they could go back to work on Tuesday, go back to work on Tuesday. But on Saturday night, Dad said, Daddy, Bobby and I are going to go back. I said, why? You just got here. I said, we don't have to go back to Monday, but Dad, we have to go back. We've got to teach our Sunday school classes Sunday morning, we're not going to miss it. They drove up 478 miles back the next day, so that they go back and teach their Sunday school class in 1 minute on Sunday morning. That's what I call faithfulness. He's a great blessing to us. Why don't you just check your life? See what happens. Well, 40 in judgment, mercy, 70 in universal, 100 means elected people. 600 means warfare, 1,000 means glory. 10,000, 10 means testimony, 1,000 goes to testimony of glory. The Jews don't have a number for millions, so this is 1,000, double glory. Whenever you come to a number, read the meaning of the number, it'll tell you what you're talking about. Is it exciting? Why don't you go home today? Get your Bible out. Take any chapter you want and start counting. Or take a name in the Bible. Take the first time the person's name is mentioned. Then as you go through, every time you find the name mentioned, then take the number and put the meaning to that name and see what you learn. Why don't you try it today? I guarantee you, it's like potato chip you can't eat one. You gotta try it again. You gotta try it again. And you keep on, after a while, you forget about eating and sleeping. The Bible gets so exciting. And then, brother, you're on the road to be a Bible student. Well, I hope that helped you today. And don't forget, it's 7 o'clock tonight now. We'll talk about the Middle East. Bring your neighbors and friends, boyfriends and girlfriends. Don't have one? Come on out, we might find you one. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you.